Welcome into the full-time report. Abe Gordon and John Nelson of Soccer Down here live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Not entirely sure what we just saw, but we're going to try and figure it all out over the next hour, John. Atlanta United rescues a point with one of the final kicks of the game and a miraculous, beautiful strike it was from Alexi Maranchuk, assisted by Miguel Almiron on that one as well. But it is 1 point for Atlanta United, and after the match, Madison Cruz got a chance to catch up with Ronnie Dyla.
Ronnie, from what you saw on the touchline, what changed defensively from the first half to the second?
I think we get a little bit tired. Looks like we do that. We use a lot of effort in the first half. I think we should kept the ball a little bit more when we had him in the areas that we... we were in wide areas. We could switch it one more time because we created a lot of opportunities. We played really, really well in the first half. They had not a shot, nothing in the first half. And the second half, we lose the ball too easy. We played too much straight, and then we were defending a little bit more than we wanted to do. And then they caught us on a couple of mistakes, especially the first goal. It was just a transition. We deserve to get a draw. We meet a very good team. I have to say Seattle is a very organized, good team. You can see they have played together, have done good over many years. So it's a tough test for us, but I feel that we should have won the game. And a little bit, as I said, the same things that we had had before.
Throughout the whole year and even on Tuesday, we saw that you guys were working on 2v1s and overloads, especially in the attack. The relationship between Luke and Tristan stood out to me today on the field. What did you make of the relationships you're seeing to form offensively, especially in today's match?
I think it's getting better and better. There's so many crossing opportunities, but then we have to be better in the timing in the box. But I think on the right side, that happens a lot. Left side, better, improving all the time. So we are improving. That's the positive.
Mihai got his first few minutes for you guys. What did you make of his performance when he came on? Mihai.
Good, yeah, as I was expecting. You know, very steady, good on the ball, calm, organized sitter. So he will be an important player for us.
Got the point here today. What do you want to see continue to be better, especially from the first half to the second half?
I think we have to keep the ball a little bit more in. We're a little bit tighter. We want too much in the first half sometimes, and I think also we create more chances if we do that. And then also we save a little bit more energy. But as I said, we meet a very good team. They're very organized. They're very good to play. So that is the level we have to be in a short time. And that's what we're working at. So it's a lot of positive things today. We were organized. We worked hard. But we have to take our chances a little bit more. And again, the chances they get are too big.
Thank you, Ronnie. Appreciate it.
Couple of things to attack here, John, and I want to start just with the big picture.
Sure.
1 point is not going to be enough here.
No.
And forget, we don't need it. We will have time to get into the specifics of how you got the point and what the game looked like today. But we said this in the Five Stripes Countdown, the pregame show, and we're going to say it again now. You're sitting at 21 points after you picked up one today. Montreal at the bottom of the table is at 18. You just don't have enough matches. 10th place, ninth place right now is 14 clear of you. The numbers just don't make sense at this point. You needed three to realistically, and even realistically was kind of using that term loosely, have some hope here to try and get hot, go on a run. 1 point is certainly not going to be enough at home to try and make an argument that you're still in this thing in terms of the regular season. The good news, though, and we'll talk about it towards the back end of this show, is that League's Cup is coming, and you can wipe the slates clean for that. But in terms of tonight, 1 point is certainly not going to be enough to keep you in the discussion in terms of finding your way into a postseason spot. That being said, the way you got the 1 point, John Nelson, I mean, I don't know how you can do anything else but laugh. I mean, look, the building explodes.
Yeah.
Maranchuk has a great goal. We'll get to the ones we gave up in a moment. If nothing else, the team fights and they're still fun to watch.
Yeah, and I will somewhat, you know, to your opening statement, I am going to continue to sit here and say, to your point about fighting, and I think that's the key here, is that the team is going to – I'm hoping that tonight is one of those indicators that the team is going to continue to fight. And as you continue to fight, regardless of the combinations and who is out there in your 11s in any given moment, you don't know what is going to happen. And so you look at the remaining matches here in the season, you continue fighting, you see what happens. We did the same thing last year, and so once again, it's going to be handful of matches to finish. You have Leagues Cup to look at, but once again, I'm looking at the fight that the team continues to show, and I want to see where that takes us more than anything else as we go here. Whatever happens, happens as we go, but the fact that you're seeing this fight in this squad, I think, is important to start. No one point is not good enough tonight.
Yeah.
You need threes going down the line. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that they are continuing to fight is key, and you don't know where that fight is going to lead you. And I think that that's the big thing.
And as wild as it was, this is a team that up until tonight had been fourth place in the Western Conference. They are well above the play-in line. This is a very good team that you went toe-to-toe with. It looked like it was headed towards a 1-1 draw. Ultimately, they score in stoppage time. You score in stoppage time. It ends up in a 2-2 draw. Statistical recap brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Possession, a significant edge to Seattle, 56% to 44%. Shots, Atlanta United had the edge 13-8. They were even on shots on goal, but I do want to note Seattle was like a hockey team out there. They were getting in front of a lot of shots headed towards net. Six block shots, I think, was the official tally. And the XG even as well, 0.8 to 0.8. And so when you look at it and say you probably earned a draw, yeah, game because of a weird situation where you needed a 99th minute, but you were headed to a draw anyways, and there were 4 minutes where it looked like that point was lost. Let's go down to the podium. Ronnie Dyla is taking some more questions.
You're happy that the team fought back and got the late goal, but frustrated also. Two shots on goal for Seattle both resulted in goals. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, of course. I'm frustrated about that, and I think the whole team are that. But again, we do so much good, and we have in decisive moment we are not have not been good enough this season and today as well. We meet a very good team, I have to say that. They are organized, they are good football players, and we need to be very disciplined and good on the ball if we're going to make something. I think we played a very, very good first half, something of the best we have done. They had nothing. We had 3-4 good opportunities, and we should have created more in that period. I think if we had switched the play a little bit more, we're a little bit more patient in the last third of the pitch, accurate in the last pitch, I think we will get more chances than we had. I see in the end of the first half we start to be a little bit more tired, and then you take that into the second half. I think that's what's happening. We have players that drops in the second half, and then we don't want the ball enough, we don't move enough, and then they have the ball too much. And then we start to go straight instead of switch, and when we switched it, we had good opportunities, but today, and we did that good in many coincidences in the game, but we started to play, when we get tired, more straight balls, and then we lose it too much, and then we have to recover. So we need to keep the ball more against these kind of teams. This is the level, the top level in MLS. There's Seattle, Columbus teams, Cincinnati. You can feel it. They are on that. We are not so far away, but we are far away in when you talk about points. But I think the 3-4 games now, the performances we look differently. We look better. And I see improvement all the time. And that's the only thing I have to focus on, and that we need to keep on working with the patterns that we had, the relationships inside it. Now it happens things on the right side. It happens a lot also on the left side now with Will and Tristan come in good positions and Pedro. And now it's the crossing situations, how we get more chances out of this opportunity. And defensively, we need to keep concentration. That's, you cannot play 85 minutes in defense. You have to play 90. And today it's... The first goal is a challenge there with Stian. We are a little bit unorganized also. We had there was one outside there. So we have to read that situation and win the challenge. And the second is a cross we have to stop. And then also we have three against one inside the box as well. So it's isn't the things we have talked about many times. I see a lot of improvement. I see our pressing game is better, and we are more organized, and we we're creating more.
What are Ronald and Luke providing at their respective positions that you weren't getting from previous combinations of players?
I think everybody has to get the chances, and I think it's not about what we need everybody. So it's not about this or this. I think Luke played really well today. Look at his work rate. I'm sure if I go through his numbers now, he will be the guy who run most on the pitch. He defend, he attacks space, he created another shot in the post. He has opportunities. He switched the play, doesn't lose the ball. He really have made an impact in the team. So that's very good. Ronald is also have a lot of passion when he plays and win challenges. He's coming forward, he's speaking, he has a good relationship with Miggy. So it's that's things, but I don't say that the two others can't that have played now come into the game. That's we need everybody. Now we're going to play, and that's good, every 3-4 days. That's what we want to do. Hopefully we can end up there, that we have the whole season like that. But I'm satisfied with a lot of the things happening today.
Yeah. Coach, you said you see improvement. Is League's Cup kind of like a fresh start, maybe a new season within the season?
Yeah, it's an opportunity to win something. So again, we're going to meet tough teams, but we, as I said, we don't meet better, much better opponent than we did today. So we will use every moment now to achieve something. And these three games, it's fun, and it's something we have to attack.
There it is, the words of Ronnie Dyla talking about both tonight's game and maybe picking up a little bit of momentum for League's Cup, in which you are going to blank the slate. So you're going to play three Liga MX. We'll get that all set up later in the show. We do need to hit a break here. On the other side, I know you've been writing stuff down. We got the highlights to listen to. Real quick, though, before we head out, who do you have for man of the match tonight?
Alexei Medanchuk, beside the obvious reason of scoring the game-winning goal, 90 minutes played the full, got the goal that resurrected the point for Atlanta United. 61 touches on the night, 41-48 passing at 85%. 5 of 7 long ball completions, had the one shot on target. 2 shots blocked on the day, 1 successful dribble and on the ground with duels, period. 3 for 6 on the day. And you had 1 clearance and 1 tackle as well. So contributing on both sides of the ball and getting the point for Atlanta United with the late goal. Alexei Medanchuk, player of the match.
And that is now his third man of the match, tying him with Jay Forch and Bartosz Leach up top with 5. When we come back, we'll hear the highlights brought to you by Scana, and we'll let John break down some of the notes he took. I have some thoughts as well about what happened in the first half and what happened in the second half. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. It's Abe Gordon live, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The full-time report continues in 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. John Nelson and Abe Gordon here hanging out for the full-time report. Atlanta United and the Seattle Sounders, a 2-2 draw. We just heard the voice of Ronnie Dyla last segment talking and sharing some thoughts on the match. John, I want to get some of your thoughts both on the match and also on what Ronnie Dyla said. But I also want to share a tweet that Mike Conte just put out. I think it leads right into probably where we're headed. Leads into some of the comments from Ronnie Dyla. An outstanding first half for Atlanta United. Probably could have been, was so close to being 2-0. Luke Brennan had an outstanding cut to the inside, puts it off the post. And not just a millimeter
no,
to
it was
the
flush.
Right.
It was flush.
But it ricochets off the post and then off the back of the goalie. Half the time that's going to go back into the net. This was the half of the time where it just caught him at the right angle and bounced back into the field of play. Unlucky there, because obviously at 2-0, it's a totally different game. Mm-hmm. But as Ronnie Dyla said, started to feel like the team got a little bit tired, came out in the second half, felt tired still. And this is nothing new, unfortunately. This is something we have seen, something that we talk about. How you look the first 15 minutes out of halftime. Mike Conte, at Mike Conte 929 with the tweet just a couple of moments ago. In minutes 46 to 60, so the first 15 minutes out of halftime,
yep.
Atlanta United's goals scored 3. Atlanta United goals allowed 18.
Mm.
And that goes into tonight with that 54th minute from Pedro de la Vega. And it's frustrating, John, because you were really, really good in that first half. again, only able to get to halftime with a 1-0 lead, and then it all comes undone within the first 10.
Total shots first half, 9-2. The one save from Andrew Thomas. You didn't have as many passes, but once again, I look at possession numbers these days, and to me, it's kind of like possession in college football. Remember, it's what you do with the ball when you have possession. It's not how much you have of the ball. You can sit there and you can pass from one side of the one side of the pitch to the other, and you can have more possession than the other team. Did you do anything with it? No, you just pass it from side to side. I look at what you do with it more than anything else. Seattle, 11 tackles compared to 7. 12 free kicks, 7 of those went to Seattle. The one yellow card, which was stunning to me. In the 5th minute, Remy Touchon decided he was going to go ahead and give a 5th minute yellow card and not be equally distributed in same situations later as the match went. He sets a precedent early, doesn't follow the precedent as you go. But obviously, 9-2 in the first half when you look at the chances, and then you flip that basically. 3 big chances, 6-4 in shots in the second half. Thomas had the one save once again in the second half. But once again, 9-2, and you don't take advantage of it in that first 45.
Yeah, that was definitely the big difference in that one. It felt like you could have put that game away. You didn't. And again, you get to the second half. They do get one. You then play even, and then just total chaos in stoppage time. And let's go ahead and relive that right now. The highlights are brought to you by SCANA. For over 20 years, SCANA Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. Look, it was wild and wonky at the end. It was kind of wild and wonky towards the early stages of this game.
That pressure that Ronnie was talking about.
The
pressure that was out the blocks.
Latte Loth puts the ball into a dangerous spot, and wouldn't you know it, it somehow rolls through.
Sliding it along the edge of the 18 to the edge of the right side to Gregerson, who plays up to Hernandez, and he'll pitch it over the top for Almarone. And a 1v1 with Baker Whiting, and Almarone wins the race, is bumped at the top of the 18 and stays on the ball. Drop back pass, Latte Lott, top of the arc, ahead to Brennan, left side of the 18, back to Latte Lott, wide of goal, far side, here's his cross, that is put into the net for an own goal! 1-0 Atlanta United in the 7th minute on a stroke of good luck, an own goal for Seattle.
You know, I've never liked the official designation there. I understand why it has to be an own goal, but
yeah.
I also think there's something to
you're
creating
sending it
the
on
goal.
Target. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't going to be on target, but it's you're creating the dangerous opportunity.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm not going to like really throw that big of a fit, but like it felt like Latte Loth should get a little bit more credit.
If you think about the play as Mike describes it, Latte Loth is at the top of the 18. And he sends it out wide, and then literally there is just massive space. Literally, I want to say there's about 2 yards worth of space that he shoots through, and he's ready to receive the pass coming back the other way. So Latte Lott pursues the play, pursues the open space, and creates the opportunity that goes off Yamar and goes whatever. I mean, I'd love to see Latte Lott play billiards, you know? Just if you can sit there and you put that kind of spin on the ball to put it in the back of the net, you got that. That's 1-0.
Well, speaking of billiards, that's what it took to get a breakaway in the 54th minute there early in the second half. Atlanta United was threatening down one end. Ball ricochets near midfield. It's on for the break. Pedro de la Vega in the 54th minute.
And cleared by Gomez Andrade out on the midfield where it's, three on low. One as it was over the head of Gregerson. Streaking down the middle here is Rusnak, and De La Vega will score. And it has happened again for the 18th time this year. Atlanta United comes out of halftime and gives up the equalizer. This was incredibly unlucky as Williams was put into a 3-v-1.
Yeah, again, it was a real threat down at Atlanta United's end to score, and the ball kind of just gets played out towards midfield on a deflection, ricochets out that way, and the break is on.
And Steon gets bodied by Albert Rusnak to slow down any kind of help that could have been needed in that 3-v-1 as
and
well.
And he's also, because of that 5th-minute card, he has to be careful at that point, too. He can't get a little too aggressive with his body either, and kind of has to take that, unfortunately. Looks like you're headed 1-1. There was an odd situation where there was a referee change in the second half. So you knew there was going to be a fair amount of stoppage time,
yeah.
And there was. In the 95th minute, Osa Zay De Rosario finds what looked for a couple of minutes
sounds like a tease
to be a game winner for Seattle.
Back to the left corner of the 18. They dribble in on Lennon now to the end line. They cut back now to Nuhu outside the left corner of the 18. Here's another cross, header score. Seattle will win the game. And it has been two individual layers tonight. Stian Gregersen giving Seattle the first goal, and there's Saba giving them the second goal. Atlanta United has been the better team tonight, but they're going to lose.
Yeah, I got a lot of thoughts on how that goal developed, and we'll get to that in due time. But look, I don't blame anyone for thinking that game was over. There was a listed 7 minutes of stoppage. I think they listed eight. And you were at the end of eight, and a ball goes out for an Atlanta United throw in, and I was concerned they were going to call it there. They let Atlanta United throw it in. They let Atlanta United kind of swing it towards the middle and build the attack again. And in the 99th minute, with one of the game's final touches, Alexei Moranchuk secures a point.
Sends it to the back post towards Almiron, headed away by Nuhu. Bounce out for a throw. They will let Atlanta take it. It's thrown into Lennon, who gives it back to Almiron. Miggy to Moranchuk, top of the 18, shot. Score! Golasso! From Russia with love! Atlanta United, for the third time in their last four matches, steals a point at the death.
I will say this. When it comes to goals scored by Alexei Moranchuk, there are no cheapos.
But that's his spot.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. He plays it into the left foot and bends it far bar. And
good luck, Andrew Thomas.
Three times that I can think of off the top of my head, one of them on the ground and two through the air, have just – there's no chance.
Good luck.
There was just no chance, and this was the latest one, and it does secure a point for Atlanta United. Still a lot to break down here. We do have to hit a break. When we come back, though, John, I want to work our way through that second goal, the 95th-minute goal that gave Seattle a lead. A lot of problems going down right there, and some questions I have for you about if it could have been handled a little bit differently, both from the players but also from the touchline. I'll tell you exactly what I mean on the other side in about 5 minutes. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. It's Abe Gordon. The full-time report continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the left corner. Back to the left of the 18. They dribble in on Lennon now to the end line. They cut back now to Nuhu outside the left corner of the 18. Here's another cross. Header score. Seattle will win the game. And it has been two individual layers tonight. Stian Gregersen giving Seattle the first goal, and there's Saba giving them the second goal. Atlanta United has been the better team tonight, but they're going to lose.
Ultimately, they didn't. They obviously come back and find a goal a couple of minutes later. But I want to walk our way back through this
Abe
one
Gordon
here.
Under the magnifying glass.
Yeah,
there we go.
Pretty frustrating because I could – you know, goals happen, and sometimes you tip your cap to the other team. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the other team – you know, look – the opponents are allowed to make plays.
No, they're
right?
Not.
I'm sorry, they are.
No, they're not.
And sometimes you have to say, hey, that guy beat us because that guy had a nice move, a nice this, that.
Yeah, you tip your hat and you go. Yeah.
Sure. This wasn't that. This was an amalgamation of a number of mistakes made by Atlanta United.
Please proceed.
It starts before that call from Mike Conte a couple of touches earlier. There is a little bit of pinball towards the midfield. It falls at the feet of Saba. Mm-hmm. I don't think he knows he has space. He turns and comes backwards with the with a pass and loses it, turns it over.
Right.
He's got space to turn, move forward, and try and rebuild the attack. That's part one.
Right. There wasn't enough weight on the pass.
Well, the pass is it goes right to it goes right to a Seattle player, and they're off and running. We've seen that turnover multiple times this year and last year. There is a little bit of delay. Atlanta United's able to hold from an immediate rush right to goal. But ultimately, the next issue, which is to me equally as problematic as Saba's pass to start the counter, is a lack of communication, a lack of understanding on the far right side. And Brooks Lennon didn't communicate enough, essentially. I think it was Mihai who was there with him, was trying to say, hey, cover the overlap, cover the overlap. I couldn't hear what he's saying, but I could see the point.
Right.
Push outside. Keep going. Brooks didn't, stays inside. The ball does go to the overlap runner. Brooks can't get there in time, and a couple of moments later, obviously a ball is crossed in, headed, and Derek Williams a little flat-footed there. Couldn't do much with it. So it's just there's so many errors, both of the players. The question I have, and maybe it's harsh. Obviously, it's looking back. It's certainly a hindsight question.
Right.
But Brooks Lennon comes in the 93rd minute.
Yeah.
It eventually leads to a miscommunication 2 minutes later. I might be riding out without the sub at that point.
Well, okay.
I think every time you bring a new player in, you welcome in that factor. We certainly saw it after halftime last week when Efren Morales went out. I don't even remember who came in. Doesn't matter. They gave
it
up
was
goal
the it was the Mad Edwards. It was the Mad Edwards Amador.
They gave up a goal in 17 seconds.
Right.
I understand if Ronald Hernandez really I think it was Hernandez who came out at that point.
It was.
I understand if he was really struggling that much. I didn't see it that way, and it's just like it's just another wild card that I don't know if I'm entering into that game at that point.
Okay, so looking at SofaScore, it was 90th minute registry where Lennon comes in for Ronald. Ronald, you could tell as he was trying to run off the pitch, he was grinding to run off the pitch. And I think that when you bring in, and I'm just talking the substitution pattern, I'm not talking about anything else. You bring in Brooks at that point because you need a goal. You're chasing after a result. It's 1-1 at that point, and so if it's at 90-plus whatever, then you're bringing in Brooks to try to create offense or whatever opportunity you're trying to create. So I'm looking at it from the first element of bringing in Brooks to create offense with fresher legs and do that in place of Ronald Hernandez at 90-plus or 90-whatever. So I understand at least I'm interpreting that to be the why when it came to Brooks Lennon. So that's to point number one. I feel like we're doing counterpoint here.
I think everything you're saying is a fair response. I'm only asking the question.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's certainly no answer that would have – no, everything you've said is perfectly fine, and I accept them. With good reason,
this is the first half of my statement.
But I wanted to ask the question.
Sure.
That was all.
Okay, and so then to the second half of your point, we mentioned Saba in the past. You mentioned what you saw with Saba, not knowing that he could turn and move forward.
That was my thought. I was like, oh, you forward, go forward. It was there. Yeah. He just didn't know.
And so he's passing it backward, and then you navigate it briefly. But I think that once again, you're talking about an individual in Mihai and Brooks Lennon who are almost to the point to where they need Hello, My Name Is on the front of their jersey.
Right.
So it's a situation where Mihai has his certain way of directing traffic, and it literally is you've been out there for a handful of minutes with the new guy.
Yeah,
and so you don't know mannerisms.
It was 2 minutes.
Yeah, and so literally, so if it's 2 minutes of conversation, you know, you and I can sit down, not having known each other, 2 minutes, all right, we're plopped down and everything goes. It's a little different out there. So I'm thinking that it's just the interpretation of understanding your teammate, and so you have this cascade of factors that creates that opportunity that ends up with Derek Williams having to mark Di Rosario. He initially has positioning, and then Di Rosario comes around and posts up in front of Derek for the easy header to make it 2-1 at that point.
And by the way, this is a total hindsight discussion as it relates to Brooks Lennon if he played it properly, because there's also a world in which Brooks Lennon listens to Mihai and slides, and Mihai's not really there. Mihai was asking him to slide when Mihai wasn't quite there for coverage on the inside man. There's another parallel universe. Mm-hmm. And I just saw Fantastic Four. We're doing all these universes, right?
Yeah.
There's definitely a universe in which Brooks Lennon covers the guy wide. Mihai's not there on the inside man, and the goal comes that way. And so I'm asking questions of how the goal played out.
Right.
There's certainly a world in which one, Brooks Lennon does the right thing by staying on the inside. There's a world in which Mihai does the wrong thing by trying to send him outside. So it could play out a bunch of different ways.
Right.
We did mention Ronald Hernandez being subbed out. Jason and Maddie had an opportunity to catch up with him post-game a couple of minutes ago.
Room here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Madison Cruz and me, Jason Longshore, with Ronald Hernandez. Ronald, crazy back and forth, up and down game. What's your emotions coming out of that?
The feeling are bitter. This draw is, like you say, up and downs. I will take a strong point to the team is the resilience until the last minute. And also, they are a good team with the ball. We need to know that, and then I think we play very good first half, and then just about details and two goal about what we concede.
You and Miguel have a really good relationship off the field. In the last two starts, how has that relationship grown on the field between both of you two?
To be honest, it's been very easy for us because we get along pretty well outside of the field, and then, as you know, guys, I have been playing the left and the right, center back, almost anywhere that the staff needed. This is my versatility, and sometimes it's annoying me because I cannot play on my own position. So now that they have trusted me in the last two games, I just want to make sure that that relationship outside in the field would get in the field. It's just about improving. I think we feel strong. It's about consistency now.
Coming into Leagues Cup on Wednesday, it's a completely different competition. Everybody starts with 0 points. What kind of an opportunity is that for the group?
Yes, it's an opportunity. It's a new tournament. For us, it's like a reset. We can see a huge and a massive opportunity to go and start again all over. Focus on ourselves. It's going to be fun. And then hopefully we can keep the good things that we have done in the last couple of games.
Throughout the year as well, even on Tuesday's session, you guys worked a lot on 2v1s and overloads. How did you see those relationships grow on the field today in those moments?
Pretty well. If you see the first half, everyone was on top of the play, high intensity, one or two touches, play quick forward, and in the right side, Alexis and Miguel and I, we create counter movements that we complicate the opponent, you know, and the other side as well with Pedro, Luke, and Tristan. It's about process, but also I think we are getting the right points and about consistency. Keep working.
I wanted to ask you too about Enea Mihai making his debut, playing not quite the entire second half. You were next to him the whole way. How's he settled into the group?
I can see a leader there. I can see a guy that is willing to improve the team with leadership, communication, and then we are going to try to help me to settle in as quick as possible. It's going to be important. Everyone is involved. So I'm very glad that he's here with us.
Ronald, thanks for taking the time for us. Appreciate it.
Thank you to you guys.
You had a couple of notes there. I saw the pen writing, John.
Yeah, it just basically where Ronald is reinforcing what we saw. It was the question that was asked about working on 2v1s, and it goes back to what we saw in the first 45 and really early, if you want to say the first half of the first half, the first 15, 20 minutes or so, where, especially on the right-hand side, and Ronald alluded to it too, the relationship that he has with Miggy, and you had the three on the right-hand side with Ronald behind initially, and then you had the overlapping runs that we saw, but Ronald, Miggy, and AM59 working on the left-hand side, and at the right-hand side, and then on the left-hand side, it was the same thing that you got to see with Luke, Tristan, and Pedro. So you got to see 3v2s and 2v1s and these kinds of things, and Ronald, once again, you got to see his versatility for the second match in a row, and the fact that he mentioned that the coaching staff is trusting him, and I think that the off-the-field relationship that he has with Miguel Almirón helps him with the on-the-field relationship and the body language, where we were discussing with Mihai and Brooks just a second ago. you've got that, you have that immediately with Ronald and Miggy, knowing almost telepathically, okay, I want to do this, I want to do this. So that rhythm is there. It's just something that worked well in the first half. The pressure was there. And then to Ronnie Dyla's point, I think they did run out of gas. I think they did get tired, and it was something that had to be managed in the second 45.
When we come back, we will hear from Luke Brennan. I thought he was outstanding today, and it was something – I thought he was good a week ago, and Dyla asked for more. I think tonight you got more. We'll hear from Luke and talk about that on the other side. Atlanta United wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $4,000. A chat from Jason and Maddie with Luke Brennan awaits on the other side. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We continue to roll on the full-time report. Again, a wild 2-2 draw for Atlanta United. Atlanta United goes to halftime up 1-0 after a 7th-minute own goal. They do concede in the 54th minute. It looks like it's headed to a draw at 1-1 scoreline, but a 95th-minute goal for Seattle, a 99th-minute goal for Atlanta United. It is still a draw, but a 2-2 scoreline. Luke Brennan got the start today up on the left side there. He started there a week ago, and Ronnie Dyla came on afterwards and said, hey, I want to see more from him. I want to see take guys on, this and that. I thought we saw more from him. And Luke Brennan joined Madison Cruz and Jason Longshore after the match.
Down in the locker room at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with Luke Brennan. Luke, second straight start. You know, how are you feeling in this team and combining with the guys around you?
Yeah, I mean, it feels good to just get more minutes, but obviously I want to keep on getting better and start to win games. But, yeah.
How have you seen those relationships grow on the field, especially with Tristan Moyumba? You guys had a couple of moments in the match today that really got something going in the offense. How have you seen those relationships develop?
Yeah, I think we know each other, how we play, and I think that we're just starting to learn more and build our chemistry on the field each game.
What impressed me at moments with you tonight is you had a lot of composure to hold the ball for an extra second or two and get players running around you like Latte Lott, like Tristan. You know, is it a situation where now the more that you play, the more comfortable you feel with the game at this speed?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like every game I'm just trying to get better and develop, and the only way is to improve, so hopefully I can just keep on continuing to get better every single game, and with that comes being more comfortable on the pitch.
Leagues Cup coming up as well. What are some of the things you want to take away from this performance and improve upon and continue to see going forward, especially heading into Wednesday's match?
Yeah, I just want to continue to become a fundamental part of this team and continuing to create and score goals and get assists. So, yeah.
I'll end with asking you about your battle all night with Yamar, one of the top defenders in the league. Felt like you were really getting under his skin at times, to the point that he was complaining to the referee after the halftime whistle.
Yeah.
What was that matchup like?
I mean, yeah, he's a good defender. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's a good defender. He's a big guy. And, yeah, I mean, with MLS, it comes. So, yeah, it's good to get used to it.
Luke, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, look, you've got the numbers, and we're going to hear from them. I don't do the numbers the way you do it. I just do what I see throughout the course of the game. Mm-hmm. I thought Luke Brennan was really, really good tonight. I thought the communication and the chemistry with Latte Loth was very good. I thought the communication and the chemistry with the guys behind him was very good as well. This is a guy that we've wanted to see for a while, and we've said, hey, man, we need someone dangerous on the left side. Tonight, he felt dangerous on the left side.
No doubt. And it was the relationship that he's had with Pedro and Tristan, and then tonight with Latte Lott, and, you know, creating the opportunities there. On the night, 77 minutes for Luke and 26 touches, 14 of 19, 74% passing. Had the one shot off target and the one shot that was blocked. Hit the woodwork. We talked about that one shot that was flush in the first half that could have made it 2 goals on the board for Atlanta United. 3 for 4 on his duels on the night. Fouled one time, had one interception, and to the point that was made with Jason, he was really getting under Yamar's skin, to where Yamar was having conversations with anyone that was wearing a yellow jersey at the end of 45 minutes, and then again when the match was over. So I think that, and we've seen this with Luke in the past, where Luke has really created issues for the defender that is trying to mark him. And, you know, Luke's not afraid to chirp. He's not afraid to get in folks' faces. He's not afraid to cause any issues. And he did that with Yamar tonight. And so to your point, once again, reinforcing what Luke said in the interview, building chemistry with Tristan, getting more composure and holding onto the ball, getting those reps, more reps, and you're getting more games out there. He is getting better, and you're seeing that first, and you saw that again tonight here with Luke Brennan with Atlanta United.
And again, incredibly close to a goal in the 41st minute. Mm. Strikes it off the post, goes off the back of the keeper. Oh. Unfortunately, ricochets back into the playing field, not back into the net. So that unfortunately didn't happen, and got a whole different ball game if you go up to halftime 2-0. When we come back, we'll get you set. You heard Matty and Jason talk to both Ronald Hernandez and Luke Brennan about Leagues Cup. That's what's next. We'll tell you what the format is and what you can expect starting on Wednesday right here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The full-time report rolls on. He is John Nelson of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the full-time report. Atlanta United ties Seattle 2-2, a draw in this one. They do get 1 point, but as we discussed both in the Five Stripes Countdown and earlier in the full-time report, you really need to be grabbing 3 points at this point. And so it's a result, but it's certainly not the one that you're going to feel is going to help you move into any competitive spot in the standings. The good news is, though, for the next couple of weeks, slate gets wiped clean, and you start on a level playing field with 35 other teams. You've got 18 teams from the from Liga MX, and you have 18 teams from MLS. It's a very interesting format, Leagues Cup, calling it Phase 1.
Phase 1.
And what is going to happen, and kind of.
Yeah.
It is and it isn't group stage, only because of what it takes to advance, and we'll get into this. I'm going to try and explain it because it's a little bit confusing. I just learned it tonight myself. So if you hear an inconsistency, John Nelson, let me know. But each MLS team, each Liga MX squad, you're going to be playing three opponents from the other league. So Atlanta United, for instance, is going to be playing three squads from Liga MX. The first one is going to be Necaxa coming up on Wednesday. It is technically an away game, although it is going to be played here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for whatever that's worth. Here's why it's not group stage, and here's why it gets a little bit difficult. Out of 36 teams who are going to be in, quote, phase one, 8 advance.
Mm-hmm.
4 from the MLS, 4 from Liga MX. So you're playing 3 opponents from Liga MX. You need to be one of the 4 teams in the MLS with the most points or the tiebreakers, whatever it's going to be, to advance to a quarterfinal round. So it is very difficult to get out. It is not a situation where top 2 in your group and you move on. Yeah. A win, a draw, and a loss is not getting you through.
They're trying to promote wins and offense and all of these things that can get you through in these tiebreaker situations if you have to get into tiebreakers. But they're looking for you to win matches, and they're looking for you to win big.
And the other differentiator from most of the competitive matches you will have seen is that there is going to be a penalty shootout. I know those of you who pay attention to the twos are very familiar with the format. If it's tied after 90 minutes, each team gets a point. You go directly to a penalty shootout. The winner of the shootout will get 1 additional point. So in a shootout win, you get 2 points. In a shootout loss, you get 1 point. Kind of combining what they do in hockey, and you all know how it goes from there. So, again, only 4 MLS teams advance out of 18. You have to rack up some wins if you're going to advance, and it starts on Wednesday with Necaxa. Before we wrap up here, John Nelson, any final thoughts on this one?
Well, on this one, once again, it was, what, the 5th time this season where Atlanta United has scored north of 90-plus. And it is the 4th time in those 5 where you have salvaged a point. The other time was salvaging 3. And once again, you know, from the top of the show, we mentioned the fight that the guys have to continue to chase and chase and chase. Alexei Miranchuk coming up big from about 22 yards out at an impossible angle. Good luck, Andrew Thomas, in catching that one. And ends up as a 2-2 draw at the end of the night. Coming up here with Necaxa and Atlas. And Pumas, it gives you the opportunity to give yourself some momentum with some of the transactions and anticipated transactions. How will that mesh? And then you get to see how things will continue to go after this phase one. And do you continue? And you get to continue to work on yourself in a bunch of different ways. We'll see that through Leagues Cup. And then at the end of the month of August 24th, I believe, is when they kick things back in, at least at home, with Toronto FC coming to town.
That's going to do it for the full-time report. Join us again at 6:30 on Wednesday, July 30th, for our next broadcast as Atlanta United will take on Necaxa in Leagues Cup. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky, our producer in studio, and
thank you,
Jake
Dom.
Cook.
Thank you, Jake.
Our on-site engineer. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, and Madison Cruz and John Nelson of Soccer Down Here, I'm Abe Gordon. Once again, the final today, Atlanta United 2 and Seattle 2 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.